Hi everyone, good to see you all and thanks for coming on joining the session. I'm hoping you all would have read the newsletter, EODF newsletter, but if you haven't, don't worry. Sit down and relax and we will give you an overview of it, starting with. Thanks, Tanya. It's coming through. Right, we can go to slide next slide, please. So we shared five articles, part of the monthly session. The first article was about two organizations' problem. When one of the organization matures, is it full screen, Tanya, or is it a bit small, really? It's okay, that's fine. I can manage it. One of the when
Dan, if I
the
may, real quick, it is full screen on my end, but
fine.
if anybody wants to see it personally on Zoom at the top where it says Tanya's, screen share, there'll be three dots. If you click on that, you can individually zoom in on what is being shared. So if you'd like it larger, you can do that.
Thank you, Tanya. Yeah, thanks. Forgot about the features that which are hidden across. So, what it means, the article was created and published by Harvard Business Review. The author is Irina Wolpert. It was published in June 2026. The key focal point of the article is kind of focusing on four key points. It's when the matured organization is kind of getting into polished, reported ways of leaders getting the visibility of dashboard. What it means is when the existing leadership still exists without even taking a step forward to resolve any of the challenges, there are some leakages of information which is not clearly articulated. So the leaders don't get to see the messy version of the organization with like lots of employee experience, day-to-day activities, challenges, but they get to see the lovely picture and the kind of the outlay of the organization through just the reporting mechanism. For that, the gap isn't the structure, it's structural issue. It's a communication failure, which it means that the information is not flowing from the right level through to the right level to get end-to-end visibility. What also bad behavior, some of the bad behaviors, what we have seen is some of the leaders are kind of crediting those crediting the kind of the look and feel as a good element rather than bringing the reality to the forefront. But in this scenario, if we apply the AI, what is it going to outline? It's not going to show the lovely picture and the outcome of the organization. What it's going to show the gaps, the cracks it's already within the organization. So therefore, we need to think about how well we need to reshape, redesign the organization, and then bring that together into a more better holistic view across. So that's one of the articles. The next article, if I may, to the next one, please, Tanya. So don't run the numbers until you know why. So then what it talks, the article was written by Instant Knowledge, which is one of the leading faculty base in Singapore, by the authors of Henry Sayre and Ilah Taslim in July 2026. The key points that's outlining is good decisions need three things in place: bandwidth of making the right decision, asking the right question. We need to know the purpose of the organization, and that's kind of option, but the purpose is the most important one that is always skipped through, i.e., why are we here? What are we? What's our strategic intent now? Where do we want to go for? Kind of that's. These kind of key questions are not asked correctly. Therefore, we tend to skip that under the carpet and then say, right, let's move on with the bandwidth and the other options that we need to think about. Teams frequently argue about how to do things while wrongly assuming everyone already knows what are the things they need to do and why we exist as an organization. Four failure states are mapped in a kind of purpose missing despite resources. Directions missing entirely and overload without the focus. So, i.e., overloading the work elements to the existing team and putting the pressure on. And the crisis also creates an absence scenario as well. If we boost that organization through the AI element, what will it show to us? It cannot resolve the purpose issue. It will not and provide a polished risk output, but it will also give a false objectives and not clearly outlined as well. So what we're trying to outline here is do not camouflage some of the things. Be focused on purpose and drive the change through that lens. Next one, please, Tanya. The third article is six questions every stage must answer, part two of the strategy. It was written by Oxford State Business School, Saul Bettermer D. Chaudhry. It was again June 2026. What it focuses on is covers the practical half of the six questions that the strategy framework need to focus on: innovation, growth, organization design, and adoption. Innovation is split into kind of established elements of radical ideas failing when the surrounding system isn't ready at all. So you cannot apply the innovation in a broken system of an organization. Execution depends on the structure. You need to have the right skills at the right place, not the roles or not the individual's name. You need to have the culture to enable those execution clearly. And decision as a principle here, yes, or hell no, only if type of scenario. Again, adoption of running sensing and shaping the and sizing the change is critical to drive, again, focus on some of the key elements that's been articulated here. The fourth article is have organization functions outlive their functions. The traditionally HR, finance, IT, legal, commercial, all those great functions were built for stability and specialism in the organization. They are misaligned with the pace of business now needs. Normally, we tend to articulate, finance and HR need to be, more innovative and stuff like that. But there are dimensional changes how HR need to think more strategically and help organization achieve the goal. 66% of the C-suite leaders says pushing beyond functional boundaries matters. Only 7% report the real progress because the organization is so much focus on here and now changes rather than the strategic change to drive forward. Purpose split, run the business, work repeatably, automated versus growth opportunities across the function, tied to outcome like M&A or new market. So we need to consider, reconsider the purpose and the versus the growth opportunities and then link to the outcomes that we want to achieve. Real example of what is articulated there is how Moderna manage HR and IT under one leadership. If you remember when AI came into play, the HR leadership took over the HR function and IT to drive through. Unilever placed supply chain and tech under the CFO is through the financial lens as well. So it's about bringing the functions, corporate functions, more of an integrated way, but there is a element of those functions need to play a critical role in delivering the organization strategy as well as shaping the future changes as well. The next one, please. The last article was written by Alec Levinson in June 2026. It's spending on AI versus humans. What is the ROI of that? Companies want to fund AI spend with labor cost savings. So today, a lot of organizations are implementing AI with the massive assumption of we can take headcount cost out. Therefore, we will be able to deliver. But what it is, they haven't thought through the right lens of it. Therefore, it's a zero contribution that's been taking place into the organization, and it's creating challenges and highlighting the gaps as well. Standard ROI, revenue change to investment cost is not in the right spectrum at all. Also, when launching something entirely new, like product line or market entry, not for most AI deployment at all. So it's not thought through the what the future state. How are we going to reset our organization? It's again a living system of an organization. And then how does the operating model is going to enable us to deliver the outcome? The proposed alternate is value, business value mapping. Trace AI impact through the actual business processes. So work, I tend to look through the workflow engine and intermediate steps, not just the end-to-end revenue numbers. Not about numbers crunching. It's about understanding the work and the workflow and driving through that lens. And the real driver of the ROI is the spillover AI spends speeds up some of the tasks while adding new burden in, elsewhere. So you could take over some of the activities automated, but then if you don't look through the end-to-end lens of the workflow or the work, then you may end up adding more pressure into the system and it can crumble over time. On that note, we're going to open up a poll for those who have read the articles, and we want to delve deeper into that, into the articles, to understand what you got the poll, Tanya. The, you know, which article, you know, which article did you find most useful? Select, you know, one of them, and then based on the response, we will talk about in a deep dive in those articles.
All right, I'll give it a few more seconds. Got about half of you have answered so far.
We've got an author on the in the call today. Hi, Alec. Good to see you.
All
I
right.
am not here to sway the voting.
Not at all. Not at all. You're always welcome to do that.
Right, I'm going to
I'll
share
be
the results
delighted. I'll be
here.
delighted if I get 0 votes.
Problem. Cool. So the top one is two organizations problem. And the second vote, I think, is almost the tie, which is don't run the numbers until you know why, and spending on AI versus humans. So let's take the look at the top one first, the two organizations problem. I'm going to open up the discussion points with a question. Where does the dashboard version of your organization diverge most from the lived version? And which part of the STAR framework, most of you know the STAR framework, is causing that gap? Who wants to go first in that discussion? The question's on the Tanya has put the question in the chat as well, so that's okay. Hi, Jadina.
Looks like Jerry's raised his hand.
All right, Jerry.
I think this,
Connie.
the reason I like this article is I think it pointed to a very fundamental issue. It is balancing the intentional structure versus the actual capability, which is the fundamental responsibility of leadership. If their dashboards only show them the left half of the organization, they should clean up their act. There's nothing about the lived experience that cannot be captured and made part of a dashboard. We know how to measure morale. We know how to ask people, do the work processes enable you to do quality work? We can find out what that lived experience is like. It's a one-screen, 60-second survey. It
Yes.
should be half the dashboard, and the gap should be the agenda item in a leadership meeting.
I agree totally, Jerry. The agenda items are not set correctly, therefore we are not able to challenge the status quo at all in the leadership session. Good one. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else view what's happening in your organization today? You know, we've seen different iterations of challenges and, you know, busy teams busy crunching numbers, creating reports. Hi, Jadina.
Hey, Shan. There was a couple of things in this article, though, that I thought I liked the idea that because it's true, right? We all know that this is true. A couple of things I objected to, though. One was that that the one of the solutions that the author proposed was that leaders should go around the process and kind of sneak around and get the lived experience. And I just thought, wow, there's got to be a better org design answer than that. That doesn't seem like a good solution. And then it also talked about it's like it's compounded by AI because it makes these pretty decks and makes everything look good. I haven't found that. Like, I haven't found that to be true. I found the opposite to be true, that AI puts really neutral language to exposing some of the gaps so that it can be heard in ways that humans kind of don't maybe say it the right way, but AI can like can make sure that the gaps are exposed and in a way that is sort of like communicated clearly and neutral. So I didn't agree with I that hasn't been my experience that AI is making it worse. I think AI is actually helping.
100%. What it does, you're right, Julia, it exposes their cracks, rather than helping to polish it up and present it a better way, really. So, yes, I think, again, aligning to Jerry's comment is, when you go to the board and saying, this is great, we're looking good, but the cracks are not shown at all, really. So, that's good. Thank you, Julia. Hi, Gina.
I would echo what she said. I like that article because it's just a good reminder because that problem is eternal. It existed 100 years ago. It'll exist 100 years from now. So I like that article. I thought it was a little glib about just saying the thing was surfacing uncomfortable truth. You know, that was the missed opportunity there because that would be maybe something you could do with AI is, you know, where are we not rewarding it? Where could we reward it? So I thought that it was really good, you know, again, eternal truth. And I thought that I same thing. I have, you know, the presentations, no question, deck quality has improved, but the graphics, not the content, with AI. So and then I thought that would be the thing would be to just try to figure out, you know, how could you reward uncomfortable truths? Because I'm not aware of an organization that has been able to do that sustainably. There'll be pockets here and there, but it doesn't seem to be really hard to persist.
Agree 100%. It as you said, it the AI would polish the content up and kind of present it in a bit more smarter way and take off the all the cracks. But I think it's about telling the story is critical from where do we start, how do we apply, what are the things that there are gaps, all those good things, using the org design lens really. Thank you, Gina, for that.
I think
Alison,
Allison out. Okay.
sorry, got it. Go for it, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi, sorry, and sorry, apologies again. I don't know why my camera's not working, so
No problem.
don't mean to be rude. Yeah, totally agree with Gina. Well, both are on it. I slightly saw things a little bit different, and maybe that's from the organization I've just come from. Is a lot of it is cultural, and I think that the top of the house do know what the lived version is, but actually there's a couple of things is if the shareholders, board members, they have to provide the numbers that they think people want to see, and that's what goes in the dashboard. And in terms of kind of rewarding, you know, we do they don't want to hear the bad messages, they want to hear the good, yeah, we've done really well. So that's why, you know, giving the bad messages are not rewarded because at the top of the house, they don't want to hear that. They want to present, oh, we're all doing amazing, we're a great organization to work for. So I think a lot of it is culture, and over the last sort of 12 months, I've been thinking a lot around how do we design for the culture that we want. So that's what kind of came through for me when I read it.
It's a very good point, Alison. You kind of highlighted two points. It doesn't articulate the culture, what do we want to do it, but what it doesn't also don't do is the leaders don't want to hear the bad messages. So always, why can't you fix it? Why can't you go and do things? And we want to see the good stuff, really. So that's kind of a different messaging from a leadership perspective, and hence everyone's kind of we don't want to do face the challenges from the leadership. That's why everyone's wanted to go forward really. But if you really stand up and say this is the problem, then I think there will be more value for leaders to come together, acknowledge the challenge, and drive better value. Yeah, totally agree with your points, Alison. Thank you for that. Jodina, I kind of cut you off there. Sorry.
Nope, I'm good. I just want to make sure you saw Allison.
Any other view perspective? And I think I can see Amy. Hi, Amy. Good to see you here. Yes, AI will see things and connect the dots, which means it will show the cracks and the challenges, the good stuff, and the kind of the things that are not working from a workflow perspective, the work, the decision rights, all those good things will be shown across really. So yes, it is. It is a way to highlight it, but I think one of the questions I always ask is, are the leaders ready to see the real truth, or are they trying to kind of camouflage things under the carpet so that they can still continue on with their role and they can still continue to operate in the vacuum as they normally tend to do in many organizations? Pierre, there's a comment. AI will show you what you write in the prompt. Yes, prompt is critical, but if you kind of also have the model created and making sure the prompts are well crafted across, then there's a potential opportunity to quickly show some gaps and good things as well. Yeah, prompts is one of the key driving elements. How you kind of craft those prompts is critical. Anyone else want to bring the real life experience or let me bring to life with one of the one of the clients I worked recently. Is the travel industry in UK, but they have got a lot of operational globally as well. What they decided to do is to unmask the workflow challenges and also to reduce the kind of operational cost. They loaded the AI tools into the into not looking at it as a end-to-end workflow. They said, "Oh, we can get the work. It's things like long workflows planning or in-day planning across in from an inside perspective." They loaded the AI, and what it did is did give the response quickly, but what it didn't give is the right capacity and the people capacity to meet the demand. What it clearly shows was that the workflow was broken, and then I went in there and helped them to say the basic questions I asked. You know, what was your case for updating the implementing the AI? Even just ask what's your purpose, what's the organization trying to achieve, what the strategic intent. Having those challenging questions in front of it, it spanned out that some of these key questions we as OD consultants tend to ask our customers have never been thought through. So it's clearly a kind of a challenge that it was identified, really. Any other thought process, any other horror stories that you may have?
I raise my hand for that.
Go, sorry, I
No
just said go
worries.
for it.
I created an AI tool for this, making diagnostics, and I discovered that I will never sell my AI tool to because this can be hijacked, right? Because the idea of is analyzing on the go your organization versus structure, a cultural soil, a viable system model. So there's a couple of things that give you and give you also some direction to move on. So I play the game to using some information available on the web to test the idea and then share with customer. The idea is to say, let me lie, please. This is the report. It's about starting the conversation. And that one point you pointed here in the conversation is I'm coming from the agile world, so we say a failure is not a failure, it's an opportunity to learn. So the way you're shifting the mindset, avoiding pointing the fingers, something here is having this kind of report monthly and you make the meeting rapidly. Is that still true? What we're doing, is it still true? What happened? And it is okay, and you're moving on, but you have a reference point. The problem usually you don't have a reference point, and I want to avoid also KPI, because KPI creates a tunnel effect, right?
Yes.
And by the way, I posted a lot of things similar this week, so I don't want to promote myself.
Yeah, thank you, Pierre. Thank you for that. Sorry. I've got a comment from Amy. Thanks, Amy. I was at the AI conference at the Aspen Institute recently, and the CEO of the NYT, I have heard about this conference. I think I might touch base with you. Talked about instead of human in the loop, we should be called human-led solution in a design approach. So I think that all solution, or what, however you want to call it. So I agree with you that human-led approach is critical. And we need to, I always look at AI as a co-worker rather than making the decisions for you as a human, but providing the options to make the right decisions. So that's how I kind of approach it. And I agree 100% with you, Amy, what you put on the chat, really. Thank you. Are there any other, one more insight just to before we close off and move to the other article? Anyone else, Robin?
I just might add, I really like this. So when we talk about human-led, I think that right now we get caught up between, look, so there's a lot of things that humans do right now that AI is obviously augmenting, but will ultimately be able to take the place of as we figure out how to use it better. And I think that because this is happening at the top of the decision-making chains, that feels like the AI is taking over. Yet I think about these things as kind of layered decisions. That, I mean, like there's the stuff that happens at the CEO and the C-suite, and you're never going to have an AI agent making independent decisions at that level, right? And the accountability ultimately lands, you know, somewhere, you know, at the top of the house or further down, so that any place we get AI taking over decisions, it's always going to be, you know, I mean, human-led in the sense of there's a human that actually has to stand behind it, that has accountability, and that can help us to make sure that we're, you know, framing things appropriately.
Agree, 100%. Thank you, Alec, for that insight. And on that note, I think we will switch to the second top of the poll, which is, I think, Alec, you kind of led yourself into that. I'll call upon you to give an overview of what initiated this to your article to bring to life. Your article was spending on AI versus humans, and I think you kind of outlined the decisions need to be either top of the level or kind of down where people are kind of forefronting it, really. Can I ask you to kind of give an overview of what instigated you to kind of bring to life, really?
Yeah, and actually I want to bring in the other article as well, since there was a tie.
Yeah. Yes.
For those of you who don't know, I actually come out of measurement and analytics and data. I mean, that's where I kind of got my start, and then I worked my way up to organization level stuff. I think there's the question about how much we're relying on data and how much we're relying on technology for decision-making are two halves of a whole here. So part of the, well, I mean, one of the motivations was literally talking to somebody who is like a chief AI officer, who is saying that the biggest challenge they have right now is trying to figure out, you know, are they getting the right ROI on the tokens that they're spending, right? And I think that there is a, so part of what, I'll give you something that's even outside of the article. Part of what I've been struggling with is that I think that AI is going to give a false hope that a lot of decision-making that right now happens tacitly, that we can't actually see it, you know, but we just see the outcomes of people making the decisions. We can, it's almost like we're getting more transparency because the AI can go in and do it. There's a lot of people, including strategy consultants, who will try to take that approach and go, great, we can now be even more scientific. Notice I'm putting air quotes around scientific, around how decisions are made. So then to try to, again, assert more control over basically telling people what to do and trying to measure things so we can then get more efficient at it. And it's just, it's too messy. So we will never be able to get true transparency into decision making, even if AI, you know, as AI becomes more part of it. And so any question about the ROI of AI ultimately comes down to what's the ROI of human decision making, and how do we understand the value of the decisions that people are making? And that can't be done in a very narrow ROI sense. It has to be done from a business effectiveness. So, like, think about, the way that we think about things as systems thinkers, where you've got an end-to-end business process. The AI, depending on how much we switch over to AI, that end-to-end business process may operate more effectively, it may operate it more efficiently, or it may not. And so you always have to be thinking about what is the interdependence between what is the work the humans are doing, what's the work the AI is doing, and you can't really isolate them separate from each other.
Agree 100%. Like, that's why I always kind of tell my clients, the leadership, to look through the work lens, the end-to-end workflow lens, and see how where we can bring in the human elements of it, and then the AI to supplement some of the activities as well, really. So that's clearly articulated. Let me open the flow to the others. Any insights by reading the article? Any kind of experience from real life examples that you're able to share?
I again was struck by, I thought it was timeless. I thought I mean, you're raising questions that are probably true to every technological. I mean, is that your sense as well? Yeah, so it's the same thing. So here's my question, and coming out of that, I thought, and obviously, we know, there's a saying, everyone's always fighting the last war, and that sort of a thing. So you do what you know how to do. You don't change immediately. I wondered what your thoughts are anyone's thoughts. It's hard to know what the value is. I mean, that's what struck me in reading that article. Like, I'd like to go measure value, but when you're in the middle of the changes, maybe it's just not obvious what you should do. And then what I was thinking of specifically was a lot of like IT innovations, and it would fix something like decision velocity. And I thought I was sitting there and I wouldn't have known that, until 2 years later. That would be the thing that it's going to change. So I wondered what everybody's thoughts were on that and reactions. I think it's a really good piece of work to raise the point that, you do have to constantly be looking at your ROI models and how you're looking at value.
Yes, it's a
I
good.
would say
Sorry.
you won't be able to measure it, because AI is generating throughput, not outcome. And the throughput is always linked to decision making. And the AI will just highlight more that there's a lack of decision making and a lack of governance, a lack of strategy. So it will just highlight more the pain of all the bad things leadership is doing.
Jerry has a really good comment in the chat too.
Yes, as I say, yeah, I think it's dangerous to look at decision making outside the work process, which is the workflow, with its which it occurs using the workflow lens. Decisions are accountable to the purpose of the workflow. Agree. So it needs to be a lot in a link to that workflow to make sure that the right decisions is made closer to the work, not away from the work, really. So I think, yeah, agree 100%, Jerry. Any other insightful horror stories?
So when I read it, I thought the key, and somebody said it, I think, Alec, you might have said it as you introduced it, but it's just based on so many assumptions, and what it, sometimes the assumptions are not correct because that's what they are, assumptions. And the other thing was, what rather than say, because a lot of people are, I feel a lot of people are saying the return on investment is lower staff costs, etc., etc. Well, the return on investment to me should be, has it achieved the outcome you want to achieve? So being really clear on the outcome that you want to achieve, and have we achieved that, and therefore was it worth investing in the technology? So those are my thoughts, and I just thought it's really hard. Just because you can measure something doesn't mean that you should. So again, going back to my assumptions point, and so just being really clear. And I think it's really, as I sit here today, I just think it's really difficult to measure, would be my view.
Yes, that's a very good point. Let me drill into it. So it is difficult to measure, but what other measurements can you apply? Let me post that question. Jadina,
I'm
sorry.
not going to answer your question because I was going to raise my hand before you asked it. But the I guess my question here is measurement for what purpose, for what end? Because yes, it's hard to measure, but why? Is it to make an investment decision? Well, then you only need the apples to apples, right? So I only need to have comparative measurement. I don't need to have precise measurement. So I know we like to know like how we did on the numbers for the ROI, but like for why? For what purpose and how accurate does it have to be for that purpose? That's my question.
Agree. Good point. Anyone else? Any
I would just
thoughts?
comment
Go
that
on,
getting back
go.
to Gina's comment that I find that in most of these cases there we're talking about the time old challenges of there's a lot of people who want to be able to kind of measure things precisely to be able to control them, and for them the world and the organization looks very black and white, very two dimensional. And that's where a lot of really bad decision making comes in. The people who recognize the complexity, recognize the multidimensional nature of these complex organizational systems, will always push back against that more kind of mechanistic, kind of control way of doing things. But that's what I think is the heart of this when we talk about both about measurement and about ROI.
Agree. Yes. Any other comments on the article, those who have read, or anything that something that hasn't stood up or has stood up for you, which might be, good to share with the team here? I think the silence is pretty much all the comments have come through. So thank you. We thought we'll run another poll to see which articles did create frictions for you, which was there an article that caused you tension, which it'd be good to understand which one of them is. Then we'll pick up on that later. Are we doing for the poll output?
I'll give it another few seconds. Anybody else like to cast a vote going once? All right. Here we go.
Have organizations' functions outlived their functions? That's a very good when I read it, I also had the same challenge. So this is all about the traditional corporate functions, or some places we call it back office, HR, IT, legal, all those good things. How are they kind of supporting the business growth and or disengaging the future strategic ambition, really? Any thoughts? Any when you read that, why did you feel that was a disengaging article, what created tension for you? Anyone want to come go first? Sorry, go on. Alison, go.
Hi. So I think I picked that because it just brought some bad memories back. we previously created, and I didn't agree with it, a Q function, chief operating officer function, which lots of organizations have, but it was created by clustering those functions. So it was people, HR, legal, corporate affairs, marketing, and it just didn't work. So 12 months later, we dismantled it all with a lot of cost and impact to people that worked in those functions. So I get the idea and I understood the article, but I think rather than just what we did was kind of throw those functions together is really look at what are the organizational capabilities you need for your business, rather than to say we have these standalone functions, let's stick them all together. So that's why it kind of caused a little bit of I'm not sure if tension's the right thing, but just kind of a bit of, oh my goodness. I recognize it definitely. So that's why I voted for that one.
That's good. Yes, thank you, Alison. Definitely, those memories come back to me as well from some of the other clients' engagement. And I think very good point you touched on. Rather than looking at the function, what are the capabilities required for the organization to be that differentiator, which also enables to look at kind of skills-based organization to move forward with the workforce planning, strategic, workforce planning, all those good things. So yes, definitely resonate with me. Any other things that kind of triggered you to say that it's not impacted the kind of while you're reading that, really?
I
Any
found the
memory?
article difficult because it seemed to be saying that there was a structural solution that we should explore. And as I listened to the conversation that we just had in the last 20 minutes, I heard about leaders who are in denial about the reality of the organization. I heard about our inability to treat errors as a resource that we learn from, and rather than treating them as an indictment or a failure. I think those are shifts that require we attend to the culture, not to the structure.
Agree 100%, Jerry. When you said about structure, it was kind of I had a smile inside because my current client, when I walked in, now we need to redesign the structure. Help me to implement, take these so much headcount so that I can deliver my OpEx cost for the function. And I said, right, what is it? Help me understand what are you trying to do. What is your strategy? What are you trying to achieve? What are your outcomes? How do you want to differentiate yourself? Everything was couldn't answer. So you're right.
For me, with that article, they started their hypothesis was that the S curve, the traditional S curve of how you make decisions, is collapsing, and that the human edge matters more than the technology in terms of differentiation. I didn't think they made that case. I mean, I just couldn't see what evidence they had that was causing that, to go there. So then the rest of it didn't follow because I couldn't see why I didn't see how they proved that hypothesis to start with. And I read a little bit of some other things and couldn't find really anything that has that point of view or evidence behind it.
Gina, what's the
Nothing
S curve?
significant.
Can you tell us about the S curve? I didn't see
It
that.
is Anne. I will just get straight to the article and let them say it.
I
It talks
searched and I
about
couldn't find it.
you add new technology, so you go with growth and time. Those are the axis. That's what I need to look at. So it's a growth in the axis, and so historically you'd add new technology. And then you just keep going up that curve, and it's kind of S shaped because you'd go up and then you'd have a little dip while you add new technology and go up. So it's like really a chain of S's. And they're saying that it is more in the article. They actually have a visual where they're saying it's more sharp. And I didn't see how they made the case in that article. And I just didn't see it. I mean, maybe it's there, but that was what was I was struggling with.
That's a good point, Gina. Thank you for that insight. Alex put a comment. Thanks, Alex. The tension for me is it felt like a typical consulting business development approach. Agree.
Yeah, don't disagree.
Yes, 100%. Definitely.
mean, I think that it's so there's this time-honored struggle around, what's the role of functions and how can we get them to be more integrated. But I think that it's rather than claiming that functions don't exist or serve the same kind of role they did, I think we can also get back to being more thoughtful and talk about, well, why is that? And that's going to be very context specific, right? It's going to depend on the organization, depend on the history, but there are things that we know how to do around that, right? I mean, you can embed people more deeply in the business, you can change their incentives, how you evaluate them, all of that. So
Yeah, I'll just hop in here. I felt the same thing, Alec. It felt like a tale as old as time, another one. But I feel like we cross-functional matrix, two-speed organization, multi-speed organization. Like, we've been down these roads before, and I'm seeing a lot now. They talked about technology and HR. I'm seeing a lot of technology and product being clubbed under the same leader, but a lot of times I see it's just clubbed under the same leader, but it's two separate organizations under the same leader. So I don't know what that really buys you. It's not really integrated the way I kind of way you might want it to be. But then clubbing functions together is still functions, right? It's just two functions. It's not functions. So I didn't quite understand that proposal that they were making.
I also, for all of you know this, I'm like, when I saw the example of the two different functions operating to this reporting to CFO, I thought, okay, so three wrongs make a right. It's like having other functions reported to the CFO is usually a really bad sign.
Yes, I think nowadays I've seen again a couple of customers. CFO has the transformation under them, IT under them, finance under them, and also some of the other commercial elements under them as well. So it's a big question mark as to whether they're kind of delivering the value or just kind of clubbing it together for the just leadership management, really. It's against bad behavior.
So
Yes.
after the sale, before we will be legal.
Agree. Any final comments? I think we are almost nearing the time. Any final comments we have? Don't think, I think silence is, there's no other comments. Tanya, can I hand over to you to close the session for me?
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left, so if there's any, I would say last article that somebody wanted to ask any questions of the group of or dive into quickly, we can open the space for that before I send you off.
Yeah. And also, I think it's worth highlighting it, Tanya. One of the key questions I had was, did you all read any articles that may have stood out, something which you may want to share with the community as well, so that if you can send that name of the article or link to the article, I will send it to Andrew Barton, who's kind of the editor of the newsletter for EODF, and they will take a look at it and then share it widely as well.
All right. So it doesn't appear to
Good.
be anybody wanted to jump in on any of the other conversations. If you do come across an article that's worth consideration, they're always open to receiving those, as Shan was mentioning. So you can send me that information. Shan, thank you so much for your time
It's a pleasure.
preparing and joining us here today and leading the conversation. We do appreciate it. I will send out a message to everyone who registered that we have the recordings posted. When we get them added to the website to let you know. We're getting close to making some announcements about our 2027 annual conference. So we'll be sharing some save the date details here shortly. Jardina happens to be our committee lead for the planning group that'll be coordinating that. And European ODF's conference is coming up here in September.
Indeed,
And
good
it'll
luck.
be in Greece this year. And I know a handful of people on this call will be in person and attending that event. So, with that, I'm happy to stay online if anybody has any questions about the community as a whole and answer those. Otherwise, I wish you all a great rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shan.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank
Good
you.
job facilitating. Thank
Please
you.
come.
Nice talk. Thank you, Tanya. I
You're
will,
welcome, Shan. Thank you so
yeah,
much
speak soon.
for
Bye for now.
putting it all together. Appreciate
It's
it.
a pleasure. Thank you. Bye for now.